Do I need to put on my noise thing or is it picking up?
I don't. Say something.
Say something. Something?
Not really.
Okay, I can put it on.
He's done. See the squirrel?
So, got to do this thing so that the microphone, because we broadcast these things all over the world. Hey, sister, you must have come in while we was praying. My eyes was closed. I opened my eyes and the sunshine was right there. It almost blinded me. Bless my heart. Good to see you. And so, Galatians chapter 5 and starting in verse 14. And so, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Just looking at that one verse, Lord Jesus, looking at that, you're telling us so many things about the unity of the church, about who we need to love, who we need to believe in, and trusting, Father, Lord, I trust you. I trust you that your law is made full in this one thing. First, that we love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, strength, everything that is in us, we love the Lord God. Amen? But fulfilling that love of God is an action, is showing your neighbor that you love them. And how do you show your neighbor that you love them? You surely don't, huh? You help them. You serve them. Do you know the word minister is servant? So a minister, that means all you are is a servant. Your job as a Christian, your call as a Christian, is to go and to put your hands in other people's lives. And especially those in the body of Christ. Right? Those who are born again and trust Jesus Christ. That's why we're not supposed to forsake the assembly. Why? Because we need each other. If you're not here, I can't tell if you're hurting, right? And if I'm not here, you can't tell if I'm hurting. How can I edify and build you up? And how can you edify and build me up if we don't have that fellowship? So the whole of the law is combined in this one thing, that we love one another, that we pour our lives into each other's lives, that we manifest Jesus Christ's life, his breath, in our hands and in our feet. Love thy neighbor as you love yourself. He says in verse 15, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Listen, when the church starts bickering, fighting, picking on, and it's beautiful. I love what God has done over the last few weeks with this virus. And let me tell you why I love it. In this little bitty body, we've had Pentecostal folks, right? We've had Catholic folks. We've had Baptist folks that haven't had a place to go. We've had the folks like me that's non-denominational, all right? And just believe the Bible. And you know what we've been able to come and do? Worship God. We've been able to open up our Bibles. We've been able to love each other. Now, if we took those little bitty differences that all of the different belief systems have and start picking on each other, how horrible would have that been? Right? Well, you don't speak in tongues, right? Or you haven't been baptized, right? Or you ain't praying to the right bead group, you know? Or whatever it is that you're doing, right? See, God didn't call different factions of people. He called the people to be the church, right? And what you put over top of your church, whether it be Baptist or Assembly of God or whatever, if you're worshiping Jesus Christ, if you're born again, you've trusted the Lord as your personal Savior, guess what? You are the church, right? But if we get in between and we start picking on each other, picking on the small things, things that really don't matter with eternal life, all we do is tear each other down. And what's the enemy want to do? He wants to tear you down. He wants to divide and to conquer. He wants to make these little schisms in the church. He wants to separate. And my doctrinal belief is different than your doctrinal belief, so we can't fellowship together.
Well, I follow Paul. You follow Apollos.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a Paul. You're all of Apollos. I'm better than you. You know, wait a second. Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase.
Right?
God gives the increase. It doesn't matter, all of that stuff. We're supposed to love each other the way that God has loved us. Right? And especially in the body of Christ. Now, there are some things that we need to stand against. I mean, hard, false doctrine, like there's more than one way to Christ, that needs to be confronted, and that with love and compassion and straightened out, right? There's some things that you say that's just not right. If I'm teaching something that's sending somebody to hell, that needs to be fixed, right? Amen? Or if you're believing something that doesn't lead you to Christ, right, then that needs to be fixed. But outside of that stuff, the things that ground you into Christ, anything outside of that is just man-made thoughts, right? So you're either in or you're out. If you're out, we need to love you till you come in. And if you're in, we need to strengthen one another until we become unified in one body, right? So that's what he says. And in this next portion of Scripture, he's going to tell us how to walk, the difference between walking in the flesh and walking in the Spirit. And when we're walking in the Spirit, when you're really filled with the Holy Ghost and you're walking in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, all of the other stuff doesn't matter. You know that? All of a sudden, all those little things, they just don't matter anymore. Why? Because we're one building in Christ. If you are in Christ, guess what? You are the church, right? You are the church. It doesn't matter the color that your church is painted or the name that's on the outside. It's who is in you. And when we get that right, when we get past all of the garbage, right, and get to the nitty-gritty stuff about the blood of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection, to love him with all of our strength, all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and then to love each other the way that he loves us, man, when we get that right, the rest of it will be much easier, right? We get our focus off of this and start looking out there. And not looking out there to harm one another, but looking out there to strengthen each other, to love one another, to edify and to build up. That's when you're walking in the Spirit of God. Amen. And he says, and verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. All right, before we get to that next verse, let's examine that a minute. If I'm walking in the Spirit, that means I'm loving y'all the way I'm supposed to. If I'm walking in the flesh, I'm devouring and making division, and I'm trying to get my way done. Where do wars come from? Arguments? You lust, you desire, and you can't have because you want it for your own will, right? So where does all that fighting come from? Where does any argument come from? I didn't get my way. Or I'm expecting something out of you that I shouldn't even be expecting. And you didn't do it what I thought you ought to do it. That is the core of every argument that there's ever been. Right? Every argument. It doesn't matter what it is. You can paint it with different colors. But the core of that argument is you didn't do it the way I expected you to do it. All right? If we could get over that. See, you don't answer to me and I don't answer to you. We answer to God, right? We answer to Jesus Christ. When we stand before God on that day of judgment and every idle word that has ever come out of our mouth is laid before out him, plain and open and broad daylight, he isn't going to say, well, did Jim tell you to say that? That's not what he's going to say. He's not going to say, he said, you knew better. You had the Holy Ghost, Curtis. Right? Why didn't you do what you were supposed to? See, that's walking in the Spirit. When we fight amongst each other, when we put each other down, when we start smearing each other around, that's walking in the flesh. All right? So he says this right here. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I want to hear amen. Amen? Because I don't want to fill the lust of the flesh. I don't like that part of me. I want to always be walking in the Spirit. Problem is I have a flesh, right? And he is alive and well, kicking and screaming every day. You know what I got to do with my flesh every day? Yeah. Kill it. I got to whack it in the head with a hammer. It's like hide a mole. Whack it. You got to do that. Because if you don't, it will take over. It will destroy you. And it says in verse 17, for the fat flesh lust against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. Well, Paul said it this way, Romans 7, talking about the two flesh, because I want to make sure I say it right. Struggling of the two natures, and so it's, I think it's 7:13. Was then that which was good made death to me? Well, God forbid. But sin, that it might appear to be sin, worked death in me, that that which is good, that sin may, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. See what he's saying there? And the law was given that we would know what really sin was all about. For we know that the law is spiritual, and I'm carnal, sold under sin. There's the bottom line. The law of God is about the spirit. All right? But I was sold in my birth. Adam sold me out. All right? He sold you out too. You were sold out to a sin nature from your very first father. All right? Adam. All right? And for verse 15, for that which I allow not, for what I would, that I do not. I would not do, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it was good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present in me, or with me. I like that it's with me, not in me. See, I studied this from a different translation a long time ago. And I memorized it wrong. So still sometimes that memorizing comes out the wrong way when you're reading it the right way. But it's present in, with you, with me. But now to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Anybody struggling with that? Mm-hmm. Oh, I want to do good stuff, but I can't do it. I do the bad stuff all the time. It's not that I want to do the bad stuff. I just find myself doing it. You know, it's like breathing. Right? I want to hold my breath. I can only do it for so long. Right? Then you got to start breathing again. So it is a nature which is, the things that he wants to do, he can't do. For verse 20, now, if I do that which I would not, is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law in my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Right? And he makes this confession, O wretched man that I am, who can say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Oh, wretched man. No matter how hard I try to do good, I always fail because I am a wretched sinner. Paul was writing this, and he was way better than me, and he was still a wretched sinner. Right? Yeah. He said, oh, wretched man, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Who needs deliverance from your body of death? Amen? Amen. I need to be delivered. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Did you see the last part of that verse, which is the most important part of that verse? We have a choice to walk after the flesh or walk after the Spirit. Even if we stumble while we're trying to walk in the flesh or in the spirit and we stumble by our flesh, we have a redeemer in Christ Jesus. Amen. Right? Because all of us will sin. And you will do it tomorrow. You'll do it tonight before you leave this building. Okay? It's going to happen. It's going to, and so will I. So what do we need to do? We need to remember, thank God for Jesus Christ. He's going to deliver me. There's coming a day of deliverance. But until that day, I've got a fight to fight. I've got to fight the good fight of faith. I've got to learn how to starve or to kill my fleshly desires every day. And he has a list of them. And this is not an all-inclusive list, but he's really close to having every problem with the flesh bound up here from Galatians chapter 5. And back in verse 18. But if we are led by the Spirit, we're not under the law, which we just saw that in Romans also, okay? Now in verse 19. Now the works of the flesh, they're manifest. That means evident. They're made evident in you. They're manifest in these. Adultery and fornication and uncleanness. Do you understand those first three? Plain and simple, all right? If you don't understand it, come talk to me later. Because, it's easy to understand, right? There's the adultery, there's fornication, there's uncleanness. Then there's lasciviousness. I didn't know what that word meant. That's a hard word. I looked it up. It's kind of like lewdness. It's loose, wantonness, lustful, following the fleshly desires. Okay, that's what lewdness means. That means I'm living with no constraint. Feels good, do it. Right? Just do it. Right? All of your sneakers say that. Or your Nike. Is it Nike? Or Adidas? One of them. Anyhow. Adidas. And so anyhow. So just do it. Well, that's lewdness. Living with no constraint in your life. You know, Jesus gave us power when he died on the cross. He said, "It is finished." He gave us power, authority, to overcome every sinful fault we have. When Jesus said, "It is done," he took on the sin nature of the world at that moment. He became the sin of the world. And he died a horrible death, but perfect blood, to cover my unrighteousness. So if I get caught in mental idolatry or adultery, what do I need to do? Repent. Confess it and repent. Repent doesn't just mean confess it, because you can say, "Oh God, yeah, you caught me doing that. Okay, I'll do it again tomorrow." No, you got to repent. You got to say, "All right, God, I'm doing my best not to do that again." Fornication, the same way. Uncleanness, the same way. Lewdness, the same way. Idolatry, right? And we think in America we don't have any idols. I dare to differ with you. I think America is full of idols. And I think the church of Jesus Christ, is involved in so much idolatry. That's why we can't see the truth. You say, "I don't have any idols." Bet you do. Bet you do. Might be in your cable bill. Bet you do. It might be in your cell phone bill. Where are you putting your money, right? Well, what is your? Who do you love enough to support? That can be an idol. I love my car. I don't love my car, but anyhow, some folks do. I knew a fellow in the old place that we used to live. He loved his lawn. But it was an idol to him. He was out there every day, and I mean, like with scissors, and he would trim around his sidewalk with scissors on his hands and knees, water it, fertilize it. That's because you and I got a weed eater, brother. That's different. He said, "Me? Yeah, but I know he doesn't have a weed eater." So you can use the church one anytime. You know, you got that. And so, but you see, it was, he would put up, "Don't let your dog walk on my grass" signs. Right? No sidewalks in a little place where we live down there. And he had this sign on the edge of his driveway: "Don't let your dog walk on my drive in my grass." If you accidentally stepped in his grass, or during the winter you know, slid off or got, he would be angry. I mean, really angry. My kids were dribbling a basketball, and they dribbled it. My grandkids dribbled it, and it went off in his lawn, and one ran out there to get it. He came storming out of his house. I thought I was going to have to take him down. I said, listen, it's my grandkid. He's playing a basketball. Leave him alone. It's grass. You know, I mean, it was pretty grass. It made you want to lay on it. It really did. It made you want to lay out. It was beautiful. But it was his idol. And folks, we got idols. All of us do. You know, we got something. Anything that keeps you away from Christ. Anything that keeps you away from reading your Bible. Anything that keeps you away from prayer is an idol. All right? And so you can put your own thing there. Right? But I guarantee you have something. Witchcraft. Now, don't think of the lady with the crooked nose and a pointy hat turning stewing a pot. This is pharmakia. All right? This is drug use. Yeah. All right? Now, there's some folks that need to take medication. Don't get me wrong. If you don't take your medication, your heart stops. God gave doctors to have medication to do that kind of stuff. But the doctors also will give you medication that really doesn't do anything for you. Right? It just changes your mind. Something that's happened to the males in America is this ADHD. We used to just call it active boys. Right? They were active boys.
Yes, sir.
And then all of a sudden they started putting Ritalin in them. Ritalin is a mind-altering drug. Before I knew the Lord, my oldest son, he took Ritalin when he was going to school, right? Because he was active. Instead of just letting him be active and play, they gave him this drug. And when he grew up, he wanted to join the military. And they would not let him join the military because he had been on a regiment of Ritalin for so long that they said, you can't join the military. Ruined his life. Well, it didn't ruin his life, just changed it. But I didn't know that back then. You know? But we need to watch out that. Drug use. Drug use in America right now is at its pinnacle. Well, you were telling me, right? And yes, you work at a brewery, right? And so he works making Genesee, right? And so you're telling me that the
60% increase.
60% increase during the coronavirus thingy. All right? Alcohol is drugs. Mm-hmm. All right? Think of the mess that's causing across our area. 60% more. That's a lot. And they were drinking a lot to start with. Right? And now 60% more than what they were drinking. Witchcraft. Well, they don't call that stuff dope because it makes you smarter. You know? It's dope for a reason. And so anyhow, that's that sort of pharmakia, sorcery. It's that kind of stuff. Hatred. All right? How can you say that you love God and hold hatred in your heart for your brother? Right? 1 John tells us that if you say you love God and you have hatred in your heart, you're a liar. Right? So that's a work of the flesh. Emulsions or contentions. Jealousies and wrath, strife, seditions and heresies, all of those things, and envies and murders, drunkenness, reveling in such alike. So you see that list, and it's a pretty good list. All those things that he's talking about right there, those are the works of the flesh. Now, if we are walking in the Spirit, we ought to be dying to those things. Right? If you're born again and you have the Spirit of God in you, when you start getting in hatred in your heart, the Holy Spirit should speak to you, right? That's his job. He is there to guide you into all truth. And so when you start having this anxiety, this hatred, this malice feeling toward somebody else, the Holy Spirit will prick your heart. Amen? Can anybody experience that?
Yeah.
Right? I do. Right? So if I was talking about my lovely neighbor, but there's a contention there, right? And I do love her and I want the best for her, but there's one side of me all right, that would really like to cut the bushes down on that side of the house. Probably got to wait, because there's a day she's going home. And I got to be careful as I'm saying that, because my flesh is saying, send her home, right? And let you know I'm a guy. I deal with these things. That's something that the Lord deals with me, right? And Lord, if you just take her home, I could paint that side of my house again. A few years ago, a storm came by and blew off a big piece of siding, right? If I put a ladder on that side of my house, she calls the cops and turns me in for trespassing. So I can't even sweep that side of my house off. But see, that's my flesh speaking there. Could you hear it? Did you hear my discomfort over that? That's something that, as I'm speaking right now, the Holy Spirit is saying, you can use this as an example, but get over it. Okay? We got to get over that. Fight it. You can't go with that. If we're born again, if we're walking in the Spirit, if we're holding on to the righteousness of Jesus Christ, these things ought to be coming less and less and less in our lives. Praise God, I'm not caught up in the first three of those, and I'm not saying it, pat myself on the back. I do have some problems here, and idolatry, and hatred. I have some problems with that. Jealousies, I got problems with that. Those are some things, and I guess I'm confessing this to you, right? So that y'all can pray for me, and you can hold my feet to the fire. Because when you see those things coming up in me, George, it's your job. Right? He's my closest neighbor. It's your job. You know, you see that stuff coming up in me. Justin was at my house. We're putting in fence posts one day. I had me a pity fit. I was not a happy camper. I was digging. If you've ever dug in this area here, it's filled with rocks. Oh, my goodness. So, clink. Okay, get the breaker. Bang, 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 clank. So I was losing it. We had, 30 holes today, right? And it was, so, what did I say? Are you going to repeat it? I don't even know why I'm doing this if I can't get the tools to do it right. And so anyhow, I don't know if y'all can identify with that, but just let you know, we're all in this mess together, right? We're all in this mess together. And he's telling us to fight against those things, to fight against the contentions and stuff that come up, the envies, murders, and drunkenness, the reveling, the partying, all right, and such alike. Of which I told you before, I also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Did you hear what he said? If you're practicing these things, if this is a regular lifestyle for you, you will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Right.
It does not matter how many times you've confessed Jesus Christ. If you are living this right here, this is, and I can show you through Ephesians, or if you're doing these things habitually, not slipping up and falling into them and repenting and coming out, but you have lived in a lifestyle of drug addiction, a drunkenness, for so long that you don't even realize it's wrong. You said the prayer when you were 7 years old. Right, and that's it. And you never stopped all of these other works of the flesh. You have that one that you just love, that one sin. Right? It's that one sin. So I could go into Ephesians chapter 3. We could go back to Romans chapter 1. And he goes through the same list. And he says, if you're practicing these things, if you're practicing these things, you have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. That's where Jesus says, not everybody who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall come into the kingdom of heaven, or shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth my Father's will. How do I know I'm going to get into heaven? Where's my eternal security, right? As one, as I fight the flesh, right? And I do what the Father tells me to, right? And
obedience,
yeah. So my security, I am held in Christ Jesus, and absolutely no demon on earth, no angel, no man can separate, no man can take me from that. But if I choose to live in rebellion to the grace of God and I walk away, he will let you have your free will. He never takes away your free will. So, what did Paul say if you're doing these things? Told you in times past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. What does that mean?
Don't get in.
Don't get in. So where do you go?
Hell.
Hell. Amen. Lake of fire. You're right. That ought to scare a lot of Christians. That ought to scare a lot of pastors. That ought to make some pastors shaking in their shoes. Because from what I understand... From a thing that I heard a little while ago, what do they call them? A polling. There's a pastor's conference, right?
Barner,
yep, exactly. Pastor conference was in town. And so when the pastors left, they asked the motels around what was different. And they found out that during the pastor's conference, the folks who rented the pornography in their rooms... doubled. At a pastor's conference, something is wrong. Something's wrong. And it didn't happen in one town. That's something that happens consistently. And if the pastors are doing that, yeah. Anyhow, they might not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, even in that, what I was telling you before, that Jesus was talking about in the book of Matthew, not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. And those who came to him said, had we not prophesied, didn't we preach in your name? Didn't we do many good things in your name? Jesus didn't say that they didn't preach. Jesus didn't say that they didn't do good things. What he did say is, get away, I never knew you. I never knew you. Yeah, you preached in the name of Jesus Christ. You cast out demons in the name of Jesus Christ. But I never knew you. Did you do some neat stuff? Absolutely. Why? You fed the poor. You tended to people. You loved people in the middle of the mess. But you were lewd. You were practicing adultery. You're envious, you're a murderer, you're a drunkard. I never knew you. You got involved in gossip. Hearsays. That's what hearsay means, gossip. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. But, amen. But, all right, there's another side of this. There's the good news to this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Right? When you are really born again, when you're converted, when not just when you say the prayer, but when something really happens, you're converted, all of a sudden it's easy to love the unlovely. Easier. All right? It's easier. When you're converted into the image of Jesus Christ being sanctified daily, all of a sudden, joy. How many folks have really experienced joy over the last year? I mean, real, real joy. Amen? It wasn't at my kid's birthday party, right? It wasn't when I was hunting and I shot that deer. I mean, that was cool, but that wasn't real joy. You know where I found real joy? On my face, right here. Right here. communicating with the Father, and all of a sudden when he lifted those burdens off of me, praise God, the joy that overflowed my soul. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Having that joy in the midst of horrible things going on. Peace. Oh. How about a sweet night's sleep? All right? Peace. Where you can tether your head on the pillow. The house is burning down. You know, your kids are they're doing crazy stuff. Snorting Jack Daniels and shooting up whiskey. I don't know what they're doing, but you know, they're doing their stuff, right? They're crazy kids. You pray for them. You lay them at the foot of the cross. Jesus says, I got this. And you say, thank you. I got peace. I don't have to worry about that no more because my Lord and Savior has it. That's a fruit. That's something that comes from a deep relationship with God. When you know God is in control, you can have peace no matter the storm, right? When you know that God loves you, you can have joy no matter what the conditions. When you understand how God loves you, when you understand the love and the joy, then you have this ability to have some long stuff, putting up with some stuff. Praise God. Can y'all put up with stuff better now than when you first got saved? Long suffer with people? Amen. Because I used to have a short fuse, shorter than I am tall. Right? So it would lighten and blow up almost immediately. Right? It's just a short fuse. But because of God, He's faithful. He's given me peace. He's given me joy. He showed me how to love. Now I can put up with folks like Mike and George for a long time. For a long years. Yeah. No. Right? He gives us that ability to know that the ones we love the most are the hurting and the lost the most. And we can love them steadfastly through all of that garbage. Because that's a fruit. That's an outpouring of the inpouring of the Spirit of God in you. It's not something that you can do in and of yourself. You've got to have that relationship with God. That's what makes that difference in you. And then all of a sudden, gentleness. Praise God for the gentleness. Because I used to be a fighter. I didn't think there was a better way to get your point across than a swift punch in the nose. I thought, you don't want to hear me? Pow. I wouldn't think twice. I'd just hit you. Right? I was a striker. That's what I did. All right? But now I'm a much more gentle person. I haven't hit nobody in years. In a long, long, long time. I can't even remember the last time I hit somebody. Can you? No. George is looking at me. He's going through his mind. When was the last time I saw that man hit somebody? So, but gentleness, you know, that being able to be soft even when your neighbor cusses you out. And you can turn at them and say, I'm praying for you. I do love you. I love you. You might hate me, but I love you. And I wish the best for you. Go ahead, brother.
A lot of people, the world sees that as weakness.
Yeah, they do.
But we know.
But that's real strength.
Strength.
That is strength. Yeah. Absolutely. So you show them gentleness. Goodness. All of a sudden you're able to do things with a right spirit. Because you have the Holy Spirit in you. Faith starts growing. The more that you're serving, the sweeter he grows, right? The more that you love him, the more love he bestows. The more I've walked with Jesus and saw him, experienced him, pick you up out of the midst of your hurt, right? He never left you. He never forsake you. You may have got mad like a little bitty kid. Anybody when you're a kid say, I hate you, Mommy and Daddy. I'm going to go to my room and I'll kick stuff around. Anybody ever do that? Right? Or ever have your kids do it to you? Right? I hate you! Right? But they don't. They're just confused at the moment. here at this when you see God's love, when you understand His gentleness, that faith starts growing. As He guides you through those hard times, when your kid slams the door, right? And you want to choke them to death, right? Instead of doing that, you just pray for them. And then God picks you up in the middle of that storm and He gives you the next breath. And you see that He is faithful, even in the middle of the mess that is going on. Whatever that mess is, whatever it is, that God is faithful. Maybe you've lost some things, right? You've lost a loved one, right? Justin, you've just lost some folks that are real close to you. But God is faithful. As you're going through that, who picked you up? God did. Who brought you through that trial? And your faith grew because of it, right? As God brings you through the trials, you get to know Him better. You get to see how faithful He is. And you get to, your faith grows because of the faith that He is. Then a meekness comes out of that. All of a sudden, you're not as boastful. Your humbleness starts just coming out of you. The closer you walk with Jesus, the more humble, more meek you can be. And again, like George says, the world sees that as weakness, but God sees that as strength. Don't avenge yourselves. Give place for vengeance to the Lord. God will do it better. All right, if they smack you on one cheek, give them the other. Right? If they steal from you, they come and steal your jacket, give them your shirt too. Right? Just be meek, be humble, be loving. God will see, and you can only do that through the power of the Holy Ghost. You can't do that on your own. And you can have temperance. Praise God for that. Man, that temperance, that deep kindness in the midst of the trials. See, and you cannot manufacture that in and of yourself. That happens as you remain in the vine. I am the vine, you are the branches, my husband, my father is the husbandman, and he trims off the dead parts. You know what the dead parts are? It's the works of the flesh. So you remain in Jesus, and as you're growing, there'll be dead parts that start showing up in you, like adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, contentions, and the like, those things. They start coming out, and the Father says, George, I love you so much, let me just cut that off of you. That's knowing that you are having the Holy Spirit guiding you. When you're able to sit there and say, all right, God, whatever needs to be trimmed off of me, take the scissors out and cut it down.
Amen.
You know, maybe I'll just be a little stump that's left, but that's okay. Trim me the way I need to be trimmed and trust Him to do that. You see, that fruit of the Spirit starts growing as He cuts the dead stuff off of you, as He cuts those works of the flesh off of you. And He does that that you might produce more fruit. So as He cuts the dead stuff off of you, you start having more love. As He cuts the dead stuff off of you, more joy and more peace, more goodness, more long-suffering, more gentleness, more faith, more meekness, and more temperance. Just let the Father cut those things off. And you know how you know that you need stuff cut off? You have the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. And He guides you into all truth. And He loves you enough to say, all right, this is dead works. Give it to the Father. Give it to me. Let me cut it off of you. Oh, and how much easier it is to grow when all the dead stuff is gone. Amen?
Amen?
Now, next year, you're going to have more dead stuff. All right? And until you get glorified, until you have your glorified body, you're going to have the twigs that need to be broke off, cut off, trimmed off every year. Just like an apple orchard. Right? Any fruit-bearing tree or bush needs to be trimmed to get the dead stuff from the winter to be cut off of it. Then that fruit in the spring starts to come. Praise God for the spring. You know, because then new life starts coming. Verse 24 through 26. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. When it says Christ, that means belongs to, is apostrophe S, not that you are Christ, all right, because you're not, all right. Verse 24, and they that are Christ or belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, or envying one another. These here are the most basic principles of the Christian walk. This is Christianity 101. After you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to start dying to the works of the flesh. After you die to the works of the flesh or allow the Father to trim those things off, then you need to start growing in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. And who here wants more fruit? Amen? I want more fruit. I want more of this Spirit, this spiritual fruit. I want more of that. So what do I got to do? Let the dead stuff, the works of the flesh, be cast off. God wants to do it for you. It says that that's the Father's job. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me, you'll bear fruit. But the Father comes and trims off the dead stuff that you can bear more fruit. More fruit of the Spirit. And what America needs now is more of that. All right? We don't need more of CNN or Fox News or Trump or Pelosi or you name the politician. We don't need that. You name the movement, we don't need that. What we need is the love and the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit of God. We need to relax in Him and learn to control our flesh. You know you can do it? You can do it! Alright? If the Bible says, be holy because He is holy, guess what He will allow you to be? Holy. But you gotta want it bad enough to let the old stuff die. Right? I love you. I absolutely love you. And I want the fruit of the Spirit to just flow out of you guys. Right? It's popping. Boom, 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 boom. Just the big, huge, love, juicy, love, peace, apples, joy, fruit just dripping off of you. And the cool thing about a fruit tree is it really doesn't make itself do it, because you can have fake fruit, right? You can force it. Apple tree doesn't set in the spring to go, apple! Until they pop up. It relaxes. It lets the juice, the sap run through it. And God makes these beautiful little apple blooms. And then He brings these pesky little bees to pollinate them. And then in the autumn time, they make these beautiful, delicious apples. And the apples, the deers eat them, the worms eat them, all the stuff. If you're bearing the fruit of the Spirit, every creature around you should experience what God has given through you. That love, that joy, that peace, that patience, that goodness, that meekness. And it's not for you. You know that? The fruit of the Spirit's not for you. For everybody else. How will they know that you're a Christian? By your love, one for another. Folks, I love you. We finished. It took 3 weeks. But we finished that chapter. Praise God. We'll be in chapter 6 when I come back. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you. We praise you, Lord God. I thank you for your word. It's so simple. The hard part, Jesus, that I see is just doing it. Lord, so I pray for power. Lord, I pray for the authority given to us by the Holy Spirit and the relationship we have with you, Jesus, that you will allow us, that you will direct us, that you will guide us and help us to grow more in the fruits of the Spirit. Father, that we would just pour out of us your compassion into a lost and dying world. Father, keep us away from the lust of our flesh. Guide us into your righteousness. Jesus, keep us safe until we return next week, Father. Help us to be your hands and your feet as we leave this chapel tonight. Father, show us somebody to love in the morning. And we thank you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Praise God. I love you, folks.